It is interesting apologizing because we always get taught to say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
As young children, say sorry to your sister. Sorry. No, mean it. Sorry.
Right?
Hi, welcome to Flip It and Rebuild It, the podcast for people who want to discover the keys to unlock their full potential and to build a strong foundation that will see you through even the most difficult storms of life. I'm Stephen.
And I'm Susan. And each of us has overcome challenges that could have destroyed us. Instead, we discovered the secrets to finding our own inner peace, and we're here with you today to share them with you.
When was the last time you fell out in a relationship big time?
It's been a while, because the last one, like, it went really smooth. Like, ending it went really smooth, even though it took a few times. I'd say, I don't know. I mean, I've had people that, like, we don't speak to each other. We blocked each other on social media, but we didn't necessarily have a fight. I haven't had like a big fight in probably like in a partnership in years. Although I did have a pretty big falling out multiple times with my ex-roommate.
Tell us about one of those.
Oh, are you recording?
Yeah. I'm going to put all that in the podcast, including
okay,
how
lovely,
are you recording?
Wonderful. Yeah, so I had a roommate that I was very different than my roommate. We were very different, so it was hard to understand each other sometimes. And I felt like, you know, like she didn't respect my boundaries. I honestly don't think she understood my boundaries. And so we had a couple of little falling outs, you know, got upset, said some things we didn't mean, whatever. But, you know, I fixed it every time. I took some time myself to think about what was really bothering me, think about what was important to me. And then I came back and just sat down and talked it out with her. So really it wasn't that bad. I used to have really bad fights when I first started dating, and I was having all these triggers. I didn't know where they were coming from. And I had all these expectations for the relationship, honestly setting myself up for a disaster.
I'm just going to let you continue talking.
Just talk.
This whole podcast is going to be me watching you talk.
But now, like, this is something I've worked really hard on, because this is really relative to communication. Like, good communication prevents these kinds of falling outs. And
No. I'm not letting you get away with this. I want to know a real juicy time. So I'll tell you why I'm asking you. It's because I'm trying to remember one of mine and I can't.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. Now I don't really get into fights with people. I get mad at people. I get upset with people. But I take a day to maybe 3 days at the most to reflect on what's really bothering me, figure out what I want to get out of the situation, what resolution I want. And then I go in prepared to sit down and talk to them. So I don't really have big fights anymore.
I've got one I remember now. Not all listeners may know, but I'm in a wheelchair. I'm an electric wheelchair. And I can remember having a massive, massive argument with Emma. And it was such a big argument that I even threw my phone on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And for years on, she always used to say, go on, throw your phone on the floor. Because I threw my phone on the floor. But not only did I throw my phone on the floor, the door opens inwards, so it was really difficult for me to open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to storm out. And I remember being in the hallway. I said, open that goddamn door. No, I'm not letting you go out in that mood. I said, open the beep, 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 beep.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I am going to go through that beep door. And after I was really, really screaming, I didn't lose it very often, but I can't even remember what this is about. That's the point.
Yeah.
And in the end, she opened the door and I stormed out the door and I said, and slammed the door behind me so hard I wanted to hear it slam.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I couldn't even slam it, so I wanted her to do it just for the satisfaction. And I disappeared for a few hours. And
yeah.
I think they actually, I wanted them to worry. I wanted them to suffer and worry.
Yeah.
Where was I going to be? And it's just funny now, even just recalling it.
Yeah.
To think I was in love with this person. Yeah, I wanted them to suffer.
Yeah, I know, right? I did. That reminds me of a really stupid thing I did when I was with someone that I fought with a lot. I actually got so upset and so angry, I ripped up my songs, the only copies I had of my songs. And I think the reason I did that was because most of them were about this person. He was like my inspiration and I didn't feel connected to him anymore. So, and I don't know why I thought he would care, but I thought he would care that I ripped my songs up in front of him.
Yeah.
But, you know, since then, you know what it started for me was like realizing I was overreacting and having a temper and just saying, okay, when I feel all these feelings rising up inside me, I'm just going to go outside and just be by myself for 10 minutes and calm down. That's what started me on the right path.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of what happened that day. I came back in eventually.
Yeah.
I think it was gone dark. I think it was after she had to phone my parents to say, we fell out. Can someone go live? Mm-hmm. I think I probably went to a local bowling alley or something and told them to say I wasn't there. You know, it's like, like the childish kind of thinking mentality. Yeah, I was probably 30. But yeah, my God, didn't we have some arguments?
Yeah.
But there wasn't a lot and it wasn't very often. But yeah, we completely lose it. And in that moment, we're everything but rational.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And what, looking back on it, I haven't reflected on any of these arguments for a long, long time, if I ever have. And I never realized how much I wanted them to suffer.
Yeah.
I wanted to really, really hurt them.
Yeah. I think we do that because we want them to know and understand how we're feeling in that moment. And we're suffering. We're suffering immensely. And we want them to feel that. And because we feel like they don't understand where we're coming from, we try to find some other way for them to feel that. I think that's what it is.
And we haven't even told them.
No, we haven't said what we're talking about today yet.
We're talking about making up after we're falling out.
Yeah. Because they're going to happen.
Yeah. And we spoke about it on the communication podcast 2 podcasts ago.
Yeah, we did.
That it's okay to fall out. It's okay to have an argument. It's just not okay to be cruel. I've just explained what I wanted to do to my partner back then.
Right.
So that wasn't cool. That wasn't good thing to do.
Yeah.
You know, why would I want someone I love to hurt?
Yeah.
But I did. I was angry at the time. Was I being compassionate and caring? No, I purely wasn't being myself.
Yeah.
Because me, Stevie, did not want Emma to hurt at the time.
Yeah.
So I wasn't being myself. And that's something really, really important to remember about your partner when they do lose it. That's not who they really are. That's who they've ended up being in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
This terrified individual fights back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it really goes on the second part of being triggered on the last podcast we were talking about. We get triggered. And that's normally what starts an argument in a relationship, is we're triggered by something.
Yeah. Yeah, or they do what I used to do, which is run away. I would like avoid confrontation. And if I did get into an argument, I would do everything I could to just get away from it, which wasn't helpful either. It avoided, you know, the fighting, but it didn't resolve the issues.
So how did that work out?
It didn't work. So now I try really hard. Now I take a break. I give myself some time to process my thoughts. And then I sit down and talk to the person about the issues. So I give myself a time out, but I still deal with the issues. I don't completely run away from them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That actually works pretty well for me.
So what do we do when we fall out? That was going to be a deep, meaningful question. And then it just ended up, what do we do when we fall out?
I think the most important thing is to start looking internally and stop trying to blame the other person for whatever's wrong. And it's not about being right or wrong or that they didn't do something they shouldn't have, but really about internally reflecting on why you feel the way you do, what your part in it was, your personal responsibility in it, Like, is, you know, figure out like what's really bothering you. Are you really mad because they didn't unload the dishwasher, or are you really just feeling neglected and unappreciated?
But that's in the analyzing it and looking deep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do we do before that? Right. Okay. We've just blown up. We've just had this big row.
Oh, take and time out.
So what do you do? Right. Take a time out. So it's not like you said just before the podcast that we don't do the power of the pause because it's beyond that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You literally got to walk away from the situation. If we've got our wits about us and we realize in that moment that we care and we love this person still.
Yeah.
So in that moment, it says, okay, this has got too heated for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a time out and I will be back.
Yes.
So they don't worry.
Yeah.
We know you're going to take a time out. It's even better if you give them, I will be back in an hour.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
That's even better because it stops everybody worrying. You're not there to punish them or anything like that.
Yeah.
You want to punish them because you only want to punish them because you're hurting.
Right.
But really, what's the point in two people hurting if one person's hurting?
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't seem logical.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem logical when you're a bit more aware of what's going on.
Exactly, because in that moment, your emotions are totally in control. You've got to give yourself that time and space to get in control of your own emotional state. Like, that is vital.
So, okay. So to fight fairly and to fall out in a way that you can do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
When your relationship's good, how about we have some kind of rules that, and we don't have to stick to them regimentedly, but we have some kind of agreement that, right, if we fall out big time,
mm-hmm.
and we end up really screaming for the sake of the relationship and because mm-hmm. I love you, can we go through this procedure if this happens?
Yeah, that's
great. First of all, at any point, one of us can look up and go, I need my time out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, so the guy that I'm seeing right now, like, I kind of established that kind of precedence with him early on. I mean, kind of. It took me a while to kind of realize what I was doing, but I kind of, you know, I said, you know, if I'm upset or angry, I need some time to process my thoughts before I'm ready to talk. And like I don't have to remind him every time I'm upset. Like, he can tell. I can't hide it. I can't hide anything. He can tell. And it'd be like, and he'll just naturally give me some space because he knows I will come to him when I'm ready to talk.
So you come to some kind of arrangement where if you did fall out, you've got somewhere to go. You both know what to do.
Yeah, we both know what to do.
Have you had to use it?
Oh, yeah.
And it works?
It works great.
And that's basically what we're talking about now, isn't it? Is having the wisdom to go, well, yeah. Look, when things are good, look, okay, at some point we're going to fall out. At some point we're going mm-hmm. to have a row.
Mm-hmm.
You have my permission, and can I have your permission to look up and go, hey, time out. Mm-hmm. I'm disappearing for an hour.
Yeah.
And that's where, if you have this in place, and this is we'll talk about the next step now, because the timeout isn't about going out and sulking, trying to get everybody on your side, trying to phone your family to complain about your missus. Don't ever do that.
No.
That's the worst thing you can do.
No.
And we often, I digress slightly, but this is an important point. Very often we moan about our spouse or our partner to a family member or to our parents or something, and then we wonder why our parents don't like them.
Right. Or our friends.
You know, don't go out and pick up the phone. Don't moan. Don't put on Facebook or anything like that. Just go out and calm down. Listen to some music. Exactly. Go for a drive.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember them, why you love them, why you're with them. What attracted you about them.
Yeah.
And get back into that space. And you both agreed to do this.
Yeah.
And then come back.
Yeah.
And then what do you do then?
But it's really important to establish that when you're not mad at each other. Like, it's not a, yeah. This isn't something that you can just be like in the moment, okay, we're going to start a new rule right now. Da, 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 da. No, this is something you work out before you get into an argument.
Yeah. You have the wisdom to know at some point you're going to fall out.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of being human.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you want a relationship that's going to experience all the ups and downs, all the things, good. Mm-hmm. Fall out occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fall out properly, you'll discover how much you mean to each other.
Oh, yes.
And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about falling out without falling out of love.
Yeah.
Because we think we hate them in the moment, but we don't. We just want to relieve our pain.
Oh, yeah.
So the next thing is, after that hour timeout, you come back in to them to talk about whatever is going on. And I think it's important to come back and talk. No more throwing accusations. No more saying, you said this, you said that. You're arguing over something. You've got to go back to right back to that thing that triggered it.
Mm-hmm.
And forget everything that come after that.
Yeah.
And work out a resolution.
Yeah. And it's really, really important to come at it from a place of vulnerability and openness. Like for me, if I will come back to the situation and the first thing I do is I take personal responsibility for my part in it. Not saying that I'm right or wrong or the other person's right or wrong, but you know, like, I am partially responsible for the disagreement. I am partially responsible. You know, like, we all have a responsibility in something. Because it's not, you know, we can't control what happens to us, but we can control how we react.
Yeah.
So I like to come back and say, okay, I overreacted. I was being sensitive. I was tired. And then talk about how I'm feeling, not what the other person did wrong, but how I feel in the situation and why I don't, you know, why I'm unhappy about it.
I think that's really important. What you said is when you come back and sit at the table, you come back with what I'm sorry for saying this, or I should not have said that, or show up as you love them. Don't come back to the table expecting from them.
Right.
Okay if they don't apologize. Okay if they don't. It's about what you bring back.
Yeah. And even if
focus on what you bring back, not what you want from them.
Exactly. Yeah. And even if it's just, hey, I feel really bad that we're fighting. I'm sorry that we're fighting. You know, like, it's not about admitting fault.
Yeah.
It's, you know, focus on the feelings.
Yeah. It's not about making them feel better either.
Right.
It's about being real.
Right. Yes. And being honest and open and vulnerable. And
yeah, it's not about coming back and blowing hot air up.
Yeah.
It's not about that. Coming back and giving all the spiel about how incredible and amazing they are, and how you fell in love with them and how you can't live without them. That's all superlicious. That's all, you know, woo-woo stuff. It's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for it if that's the way you feel. But this is not about that. This is about, exactly. I'm sorry for saying what I said. I should not have said this. If I did not mean to hurt you, if I did. And then the other person has to be okay with the apology.
Yeah.
You cannot then go, well, look, you're apologizing for this. What about this? What about this? No.
Yeah.
No going there. And that's really important, because otherwise you end up escalating it again into another argument of who's right.
Yeah. And the other thing we were going to talk about was how to apologize. There really is a best way to apologize. Step one, express remorse. I feel bad that we're fighting. I don't like feeling this way. I say that all the time to my partner. I'm angry and I'm upset and I don't like being angry at you. I want to talk about it. Step two, admit your responsibility. I overreacted. I this, I that. Like, this is what I did that wasn't right. All these things are going to open them up to conversation. Yeah. We talked about that last week. And then the third thing, make amends. Say, okay, how can we fix this? What can we do to fix this?
Yeah.
What do we need to change? Like,
what can I do to fix this? What would you like?
And make your own suggestions of what you could do, not tell them what to do, but what you could do.
Exactly. You're responsible for what you do. You're not responsible for what they do.
And then the last one, I'm kind of up in the air about this one, but it's supposed to be a really good thing to promise it won't happen again. I kind of have a problem with that because I don't want people to think they should just promise they won't do it again if they don't mean it. I think it's super important to be honest.
I guess the first three parts, if you're going down that route of apologizing properly, you do mean it.
That's true. Yeah. And if you're making a plan of action to fix it, I think that, you know, I think that kind of implies that it's not going to happen again. But if it's something that they're really upset about, you should, if you mean it, you should say, this isn't going to happen again. Because they want to.
It is interesting apologizing because we always get taught to say, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
As young children, say sorry to your sister. Sorry. No, mean it. Sorry.
Right.
What was that? So the only difference you learn is to say it with slightly less, with your shoulders slightly less tense.
Right.
Say it slightly.
Like you feel bad. So why not just tell them, I'm remorseful. I feel bad. I want you to know I feel bad.
Yeah.
I care about your feelings, you know?
I have this big thing about not teaching the kids to say thank you and sorry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be very much, when Kemmer was younger, say sorry, say thank you. Whereas mm-hmm. I'm very much the opposite to that now. What is the point in telling them to say sorry if they don't know what it means?
Yeah.
And what is the point in them saying thank you if they don't know what it means? Now then, if any adult or anybody comes up to me and says thank you because that's habit,
mm-hmm.
then they're not thanking me at all.
Yeah.
They're responding out of habit.
Yeah.
Just like I love you, click, when they put down the phone.
Yeah.
As much as that's nice and we go, well, you didn't say I love you at the end of the phone. But really, what would you prefer? Them to always remember to say I love you because they don't want to upset you, or for them to say I love you when they feel it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, like if you're living in a grateful state of mind, people are going to be able to tell you really mean it when you say thank you.
I text my daughter the other morning and I said, I love you and I'm really proud of you. And she said, are you okay? And she always does that. She always does that.
Are you okay?
You okay? How's your chest? You went to the doctor's the other day. Yeah, I'm fine. And it's because I don't tell her all the time.
Right.
I normally say it at the end of the phone call because of where she's to.
Mm-hmm.
And she expects that.
Yeah.
Am I really feeling in that moment? No, I'll be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
You don't feel love for someone all the time. It is something that comes and goes.
Yeah, it's like little moments.
Yeah.
They just hit you. Like, wow, I really love this person.
But yeah, it's interesting not to stay on the sorry and thank you for far too long. But we don't, we're not taught to say thank you and sorry properly. And it's just what you were saying. I'm sorry because this is what I did and I should not have done this.
Yeah.
It makes such a massive difference.
Oh, it does.
You're actually taking responsibility for what you did. You're telling the other person that you are aware of what you did wrong.
And you know, some people really struggle with just even saying, I'm sorry, but it makes such a huge difference. I mean, like if I go to a retail store and I have a bad experience or something goes wrong, even though I know it's not that person's fault, if they take the time to say, I'm sorry you're having this experience, I instantly feel better and more positive and more open and more willing to work with them.
The other thing that proves we get in such a habit is I'll phone somebody and they won't answer the phone. And then they'll phone me back and go, I'm sorry, I was in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, right, so you're actually apologizing to me because you did not wait around for my phone call when you did not even know I was going to phone you.
Right, yeah. Yes. In that case, I think it gets used way too much.
It does. It becomes a habit.
It does. I had a good friend that was like, constantly apologizing all the time for every little thing. And it was actually quite annoying because you just wanted to be like, all right, look, this isn't a big deal. Save your sorries for the things that matter.
I'm going to bring up this sorry again in the podcast when we talk about unconditional love, because I believe there's a point in a relationship where you never even need to say sorry.
Yeah.
Because the partner will be okay with every action you made because they know, and they would never take it personally.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one. But so we apologize. We're sitting down now. We spoke it through. What do we do next? Make up.
Right? I was just going to say the same thing. Only I had some other thoughts in my head that I'm not going to say on air.
Yeah, but exactly
it's
that.
It's makeup time. Make up.
Reward yourselves. You've got back to love. Yes. You've got back to where you were.
It's so super important to take that immense energy and turn that around and just really, even if it's just like go for a walk together and enjoy the sunset, I don't care what it is. Do something that is going to pull you back closer, because when you argue and you fight, you know, you lose that connection, and you got to bring that back. You got to bring back that connection.
Yep, and whether it's makeup sex, makeup walk, makeup food, whatever it is, it really doesn't matter. But you've got to do that reward at the end. That's what makes this whole process work so well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So going over the process really quickly, you know, everything's gone wrong. You're screaming and shouting at each other. One says, hey, look, I think it's gone too far. We need time out.
Time out.
So you both agree, an hour. Mm-hmm. You tell your partner, I'm going to go for 1 hour. I will be back in 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And you return and you take ownership of the stuff you should not have said. Perhaps you brought stuff. You apologize. You explain why you're sorry. You don't wait for them to apologize. It's not about them. It's about you.
Yeah.
Apologize and take responsibility for you. Now, if they do the same, and I urge you both to do it, brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Yes.
You know, ultimately, once you've solved it, once you've got to the bottom of the root cause of the problem, you can make up reward.
Oh, yeah. And then those things tend not to come up again. Like, you know, if you just fighting about something, I mean, most people just like they fight about something, they don't resolve it. And so the issue keeps coming back up and coming back up and coming back up.
And the reward is not for having an argument. The reward is being vulnerable, apologizing.
And getting, coming back to connection.
Yeah. Opening your wounds and going, hey, I'm vulnerable here, and I'm giving you the best of me and not the other side of me.
And that's what makes the whole experience actually bring people closer rather than tear them apart, because vulnerability is such a beautiful thing. It's just such a beautiful thing.
It is. And I always think of Mother Teresa, when she was asked, what is love? And she says, it's an open wound that never heals. That's like vulnerability.
I like that one.
We very much want to bandage it up, tie it away, stitch it up and get rid of it. And that's not love. Love is the open wound.
Yep, absolutely.
So you can listen to this podcast on, if you're going to flip it and rebuild it, you can listen to it on lots of different platforms now.
Mm-hmm.
We would love your feedback and give us some subjects of what you would like us to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And where can they find you, Susan?
Susansinspirationspace.com.
And they can find me, stephenwebb.com. Thank you, everyone. Namaste.
Thank you.